My heart can sing when I pause to remember. A heartache here is but a stepping stone along a trail that's winding always upward. This troubled world is not my final home. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day God calls me home.
Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed the little break from me last week. And many of you asked, and no, we did not get moved in yet, but we were able to get a lot of things done, and hopefully we can get moved in very soon. But today we get back to making the best of a bad situation. Situations change when things get personal, don't they? There's a difference in there have been a lot of thefts in the area versus I have been robbed, isn't there? What's the difference? Well, one happened to others and one happened to me. Please stay with me for a few moments today as we discuss the topic of a personal religion.
Until the day God calls me home. This weary world with all its pain and struggle may take its toll of misery and strife. The soul of man is like a waiting falcon. When it's released, it's destined for the skies. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day God calls me home.
We hear the phrase all the time, Jesus is my personal Lord and Savior. And while we may hear this often from our denominational friends, and the phrase might make us a little nervous, there is truth in it. Now, I realize that the meaning behind that phrase is the concept of whatever I do is between me and Jesus, so you need to stay out of it, which is a concept that is not taught in Scripture. We are admonished quite often to hold each other accountable to the gospel. However, we must understand that religion is very personal to each one of us. We are not going to be able to enter heaven, as the expression goes, on someone else's coattails. If we do not make it into heaven, we are not going to be able to blame anyone else. To illustrate the personal relationship that we are to have, I would like to read the 23rd Psalm. And I want you to listen for the emphasis that I am going to place on some of David's words. Psalm, the 23rd Psalm, a Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Did you notice? If you were counting, I emphasize 17 words in this short 6-verse psalm. My, I, me. This is something that is very personal to David. Now, I understand that this scripture was recorded to tell us that the Lord can be our shepherd as well as David's shepherd. But please appreciate the fact that David wrote this psalm as a representation of his own relationship that he had with his Creator. We cannot have David's relationship with God. We need to have our own relationship with God. Now, that doesn't mean that it cannot be similar, but David's relationship is not going to be ours, just like our own relationships will not be each other's. First, let's notice that Jesus is our personal Lord and Savior. Again, don't misunderstand. We do not use this phrase to say that the relationship that I have with Jesus is mine and you can't tell me how to act, how to talk, or how to live. Luke 19 and verse 10 tells us that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Since we have all sinned and all fall short of the glory of God, that puts us all in this category. But oftentimes, that's exactly what we do, isn't it? When we sin, we have a tendency to lump everyone else's sin in with us. When our sin is pointed out by God through His Word, or even if others point it out, we want to say, well, all fall short of the glory of God. All sin. And it is very easy to say, all have sinned. It is quite another thing to admit that I have sinned. Yes, Jesus died for you. I heard my brother-in-law put it this way one time, and I've used it ever since. Let me paint a scenario for you to illustrate. It is obviously going to be a fictional scenario, but please stay with me. Do you realize that if everyone else who has ever lived on the face of the earth or ever will live on the face of the earth lived a sinless life and earned their way into heaven, and you only sinned once, just one time, do you realize that Jesus would still have had to come and to die to wash that one sin away? Again, I realize this is not what actually happened, but doesn't it change how we should see our sin? It doesn't change the truth of it. I say this hoping that it makes it more personal to you. There is no one else to blame for my sin. I cannot drag all of you into my sin. My sins are my own, and I need Jesus' sacrifice in my life. And it needs to be that personal for all of us. Since Jesus needed to come to give me an avenue into heaven, that also means that God has a personal interest in us as well. After all, it was God who sent Jesus to accomplish our path toward salvation. John 3:16 is often used to express that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Also in 1 John 4 and verse 10, John says, "In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Let us again make this very personal and try to add our own names to these verses. For God so loved Tony that he gave his only begotten Son, that if Tony believes in him, Tony will not perish, but have eternal life. Or, in this is love, not that Tony loved God, but that God loved Tony and sent his Son to be the propitiation for Tony's sins. God has a personal interest in us and in our salvation. This is why he sent his Son. Now, what about us? We come to our final thought for the day. If Jesus is our personal Savior and God is personally interested in our salvation, then we are personally responsible for our own actions in response to this information. Think about Adam who tried to blame his sin on Eve, and Eve who tried to blame her sin on the serpent. Ezekiel 18 and 20 says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." As Jamie mentioned in his sermon yesterday, we are to be different. Each one of us are responsible for being different. How are we doing? Now, this does not mean that we can't help or assist one another in our journey. We are supposed to do that. But again, each one of us will be responsible for carrying out that action. It's not just about getting the job done, but it is literally about you doing that job. So until next time, I encourage you to make your religion personal. Worship your name.